Ephesians 4 and verse 2 is the verse that we are looking out of, and we are actually moving on to the second of four safeguards that help keep us from allowing conflict to destroy our relationships. Of course, last week we finished gentleness. And gentleness is a key characteristic, attitude that we looked at. Tonight we look at long suffering, Long-suffering, we find, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That comes from the Greek word makrothumios, which means patience, forbearance, calm. Now, this is not the same as the patience of endurance that we find there in that first chapter of James. That patience is hupomonin, which is the idea of an endurance. It's a different aspect. I'll explain it here in a moment. It is a patient holding out under trial, a long protracted restrain of the soul from yielding to passion. We're going to talk about that just a little bit more. The Complete Word Study Dictionary quotes William Barclay, and there are several really good quotes in there about this word makrothumia. It says this: makrothumia is the characteristic Greek word for patience with others. John Chrysostom defined it as the spirit which has the power to take revenge, but never does so. J.B. Lightfoot, a New Testament scholar, defined it as the spirit which refuses to retaliate. To take an imperfect analogy, it's often possible to see a puppy and a large dog together. I remember when my mom got her little Shih Tzu. And she got one that's about that big, and she's still just about that big. And my sister had a Shih Tzu that was kind of, you know, I guess full size, and had had her for quite a few years. And I remember the first time that those two dogs got together, an older dog and a brand new puppy that had the energy of an atomic bomb. And it's a great illustration. The puppy yaps at the big dog, worries it, bites it. And all the time, the big dog does what? It just kind of is there. Even though the puppy is doing all these things and it could snap it with a shake of its jaws, but it bears the puppy's impertinence. And that's the idea. Makrothumia is the spirit which bears insult and injury without bitterness and without complaint. That is a mouthful of thought right there. It is a spirit which can suffer unpleasant people with graciousness and fools without irritation. What a quote. What a compilation of a quote there from William Barclay and compiling all of that. And so this idea of long-suffering has to do with people. Is there a difference between endurance and patience? And although they're used interchangeably in some New Testament translations, the primary Greek word for endurance is a military term that has to do with bearing up under suffering. While the principal word for patience carries with it the idea of being steadfast and long-suffering. Another interesting distinction that some make between the two is that endurance is used for being patient in circumstance. And that's where we have in James chapter 1, where it's talking about our trials, our tribulations, the things that we're going through. And it talks about the endurance. The patient, or patient refers to being patience with people. And sometimes we find both words appearing together. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10. And we see both situations going on and both of these words used. Paul is writing Timothy there, verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." We find both of those words. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. And there we see those persecution. And again, we see it. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and now notice this, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. You see, we've got both circumstances here, and we have people. And Paul is making use of both the word macrothumia and the word hupomonen. Enduring both of those there, in context with circumstances and with people. Evil men are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And so we both of them touch each other, and both of them have different uses. So the question is this, and maybe we could call this the mini impatience quotient test. But do you grumble and complain when going through many trials? Not M-A-N-Y, but M-I-N-I, many trials. I want you to hold that thought, because we'll touch it here a little bit later. But there are two evidences of our impatience with others. Two evidences of our impatience with others. Number one is an unwillingness to work any longer on the relationship. Impatient people are too quick to throw in the towel on friendships and even family relationships. How much endurance do you have? How much patience do you have? Are you so quickly and easily frustrated that you're thrown in the towel, you're walking away, rather than bearing under and being patient with someone? The most common question that an impatient person asks is, how long? How long? How long do I have to wait? Common question. How long must I put up with her crying or her nagging or her disrespect or lying or laziness? How long must I put up with his temper, his silence, his foolishness, his unkind jokes, his lack of consideration? How long will my child struggle with defiance, lying, disobedience, backtalking, potty training, getting themselves dressed? How long is this going to go? How long do I have to put up with this? That's the most common question that an impatient person will ask. How long will I have to have this same Sunday school teacher? How long will we have to put up with this school teacher? I've already had two kids go through her. I've got two more kids, and we've had a bad experience. How long will I have to deal with this family member? We all have those points that kind of get under our skin and put our long suffering in check, or out of check, really. Patient people are committed to handling relationships and the difficult people in them biblically. Patient people are committed to handling relationships and the difficult people in them biblically. Listen, we are all human beings. We are all people who have a flesh. And when it comes to dealing with others, beloved, we need the Spirit of God. We need biblical principle. You say, well, I've tried biblical principle. How long do I have to keep trying? until you can't. Think of it. Peter thought that he was going to ask a very spiritual question of Jesus. Remember what he asked? Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often should I forgive him? Seven times? Ooh, man. That was a spiritual question, because that was more than even the Pharisees and Sadducees required. What did Jesus say? No, Peter, 70 times seven. Peter, literally, you got to forgive every time he comes. And so I think a lot of times, and I've heard this before, especially when there are people in conflict with one another, the long suffering goes out the door. It's thrown out the window. And I've heard people say, oh, well, Matthew 18, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. Well, how many times have you tried it? How many times have you tried a scriptural approach? Have you tried all the approaches in scriptures, more than just Matthew 18? And many times our impatience destroy relationships, or they leave relationships unrepaired that could be fixed. If we would just allow ourselves to develop the character of long-suffering. It could be going the second or third mile or persevering through years of difficulty. Sometimes we have difficult people that come into our life. And listen, I'm sitting there going through this and laying all this out, and I'm going, man, I've got to work on my long suffering, because we all have them. We all have to deal with difficult people in our lives, and some of them are family. Some of them are people that God places there, and He places them there for a reason. So long suffering is important. We should not be people who are unwilling to work on a relationship because we get impatience. Look at Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. Again, this is a great passage of Scripture, especially if you are struggling and dealing with somebody, something for you to memorize. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, we like to stop there because we like that escape clause, right? As much as lieth in you. Oh, I've done everything that I can. I've given my last full measure. It's the straw that broke the camel's back. Well, wait a second. Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering with you? Same word. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And you know this well, because I've used this illustration more than once. Giving place unto wrath is the picture of Indigo Montoya. Anybody know who Indigo Montoya is? Yes. My name is Indigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. He pulls out his sword, right? You know what we need to do? Put it back in the scabbard. That's the picture of giving place to wrath. Vengeance is not ours. We are to be long-suffering. In fact, when we consider the perfect character of God, and it says, vengeance is mine, God takes out perfect vengeance. Can you take out perfect vengeance? I know I can't. And that's why God tells us to scabbard our sword, to give place to wrath. Why? Because his vengeance is meted out in perfect justice. And that's why we, as believers, when it comes to conflict, when it comes to our relationships, whether it's our marriage relationship, whether it's family relationships, whether it's relationships within the body or relationships on the job, we need to be people who are long-suffering. We need to be people who give these relationships to the Lord. Is it frustrating? Yes. Are people frustrating? Yes. Oh man, I can't remember the statement that I just heard it this afternoon about, it's not that I don't like to be around people, I just don't like having them around me, or something like that. It was, you know, sometimes you feel that way, right? When you get the prickly people around you and they have a tendency to get under your skin. But what are we to do? We're to be long-suffering. We're to bear under. So there's an idea of an unwillingness to work any longer with on the relationship. The second aspect is this: it's unfairly or unjustifiably pressuring or demanding that a loved one change according to your own subjective schedule. And I'll read that one again. You can read it up on the screen if you can see it. But it is unfairly or unjustifiably pressuring or demanding that a loved one change according to your own subjective schedule. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question. If the Lord were to show you all of your remaining sin in one moment and told you that you had until the end of next week to get your act together, how would you like it? I mean, let's think about it. We're gonna see as we go through this and we touch on these other two in upcoming weeks, that there's this aspect of humility, that's the aspect of gentleness that we talked about, where we see ourselves in our own sin. We see ourselves in our own humanity. And I think many times we get impatient with people because our expectations are not God's expectations for them. We think that our expectations should be God's expectations. We think that our expectations ought to be the standard. But beloved, the truth is, if we step back, many times when we find ourselves in a place where our long suffering has gone out the door and we're in a state of impatience, especially in dealing with somebody, that our expectations that we have for them, many times we would not hold ourselves to the same standard. And so it's good for us to ask that. If God showed you all your shortcomings, said you've got this long to get your act together, how would you feel? How would you like it? You see, here's the truth. I am spiritually arrogant if I think that someone should change according to my timetable rather than the one the Holy Spirit has set for them. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't disciple. It doesn't mean that we don't have an accountability with one another within the body. But it does mean that we are long-suffering. It does mean that we interact with one another, we communicate with one another in such a way that our words are seasoned with salt, that there is grace in our attitude and in our interaction with one another. And so we can't be spiritually arrogant. We can't impose upon God for someone else what we think and how we think they ought to change. Now, I've asked this question before, and we know the answer to it. Who changes people? The Spirit of God does, right? I can't change someone. I can't make somebody sanctified or better sanctified. You know what? If I try to do it, I'm going to mess it up. And the truth is if you try to do it, you're going to mess it up too. Why? Because we're all a bunch of dirt balls. We're all human. We all have our flesh. And praise the Lord that God looks down in perfection and holiness, and he looks at a dirt ball, a crooked stick like me, and he says, this is my plan for Chris Williams to grow and to be sanctified and to be conformed to the image of my son. And these are the ways that he has to develop in a specific way. And you know what? It's not the same way as Laura. Even though I might think that what in my mind that she should change and how she should grow, it's not the same way as me. God has a plan for her. God has a plan for you. We're all uniquely different. We all have different life experiences. We all have different pasts that we came out of, and those affect how we grow. And so our long suffering is important. A patient person accepts the fact that his opponent or the person he's in conflict with is where he is spiritually and does what he can to encourage them to greater maturity without allowing himself to be provoked into lowering his own maturity by sinful responses. You ever been in the midst of a conflict in a group of people, and somebody speaks up and says, we need to just quiet down and get some direction here. Somebody has to be the what? Adult in the room. What are they saying? We're all lowering our maturity level, and we're acting like children because of our impatience. And so when it comes to conflict, when it comes to our relationships, long suffering is important because it's what allows us to be able to see beyond a person, to see them with God's eyes. And it helps us to keep from lowering ourselves, from putting ourselves in a place where we have grown spiritually, we've grown to a level of maturity, and we're not putting ourselves back down and lowering our maturity. This patience is unique in this aspect as well, because this patience is used to describe the character of God. The other is never used to describe God. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Let's just see this here. Romans 15 and verse 5, it says, now the God of patience, there's our word, long suffering and consolation, grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see God and his character, the God of this patience, that long suffering, that calmness with others. Grant you to be like-minded. You see, this is something that we have to turn to God for. Why? Because in my flesh, that guy who was going around the new traffic circle in Rochester and didn't yield coming into the circle and almost hit me, my flesh wants to cry out, right? My flesh wants to get angry. My flesh gets impatient. Doesn't that guy know that I have some place to go to? That's what my flesh wants. That's what your flesh wants. But beloved, we have the God of patience, long-suffering. And so you know what? You know what God does? When Chris Williams drives to the traffic circle and somebody doesn't yield and he gets impatient, God in heaven does not go, "Oh my goodness, what? I can't believe he did that." No. What's God doing? He's being long-suffering. He's saying, you know, I probably ought to schedule a few more of those incidents to happen to Pastor Chris because he needs to work on his patience with others. You see, we need God. We need to be walking in the Spirit. Why? Because he's the God of patience, and he wants to grant to us to have that like-minded nature about us of long-suffering with one another. And it's a character quality that we must exercise in dependence upon him. And truly, if we do not depend upon the Lord for this patience, we will never exercise the other patience. I think they're interconnected. You know what? If we can't go to God and learn long suffering, then beloved, we're most definitely struggling in the area of endurance. And so what does this look like practically lived? That's a good question, and we'll look at it next week because we got to go to prayer time. But six things that we'll look at in the practical living of this and what patience looks like.